America's founders created a nation that recognized our God-given rights as the source of our liberty. Dr. Marlene McMillan, who is a speaker and an author, she has a website called WhyLibertyMatters.com, wherein she contrasts the tree of liberty versus the tree of bondage and tyranny. For example, with the tree of liberty, there are moral absolutes, principles of truth, law, and abiding in self-governing people, good character, free enterprise, limited civil government, recognition of God as our source of life and liberties and so forth. In contrast, there is, she says, the tree of bondage and tyranny, where we have moral relativism, rampant deceit, lawlessness, feelings constantly changing, self-indulgence, where government is God. That's a small g. She says, quote, people who live in liberty think differently than people who live in bondage, end quote. We're going to talk right now with Dr. Marlene McMillan about the subject of American liberty and, in contrast to that, bondage and tyranny. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points, and we welcome Dr. Marlene McMillan to the program. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate this, and I like your whole concept about the two trees. So go ahead and wax eloquent on that, if you would.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. And it's really exciting because many people want to live under the green tree. They want to have liberty. But yet, when it actually comes down to it, they don't know how. So a lot of what I've done is given language to liberty and explain to people not just to wish for it, but to actually understand that liberty is the result of fixed principles. And when you know those fixed principles, very simple things like you can only have as much liberty as you have the character to establish and maintain. So people want to do whatever they want to do and have bad character, but still want the fruit of liberty. So we deal with cause and effect, and basically liberty affects everything that happens to all of us. If you want to have a choice about what, you know, choice is a big word these days, right? Everybody wants a choice, but you have to come back and look at where will those choices take me? Where will, if I use a certain definition, where will that lead to? Because every definition has a destination built into it. And this affects everybody's lives.
You know, part of what you said reminds me of something our mutual friend, Dr. Paul Jaley of the Plymouth Rock Foundation, he likes to say this. He says that people enjoy the fruits of American liberty, but they don't often enjoy and appreciate the root of American liberty, which is, frankly, our Judeo-Christian heritage.
Well, we could also say that liberty is like a bank account. You have to make a deposit before you can make a withdrawal. And so people, we've been making too many withdrawals. And in the family economy, you know, the first generation usually makes a big deposit. The next generation lives off the interest, but they don't touch the principal. And then whenever anybody in the family starts dipping into the principal, you know the inheritance is gone. Well, as a nation, we've been dipping into the principal, and it's time to make a new deposit of liberty.
That's a very interesting point. Let me say this. George Washington said in his farewell address, very, very important message to the nation, he said that of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. John Adams, our second president, said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And when both of these men were talking, and they use the word religion, basically that meant Christianity of, you know, one denomination or another. The founders felt that in order for the American Republican system to work, small r, of course, it had to work with people being virtuous. How were they virtuous? Through voluntary religion. But today, all these things are undercut, and they're undercut even in our schools.
Well, a lot of that is by design, because if you can have people that are unself-governing, in other words, they don't have any moral restraint from within, then they need more control from without. So that allows an excuse for those who want to bring tyranny into a country to, develop more of their time and to give more attention to them, because what you have going on is the people are ungoverned. So if you, the more self-governing you are from within, the less you need someone from without to tell you what to do. So people want liberty, but they don't want to have to take care of themselves. So I actually make the distinction between liberty and freedom. You have all these people saying, oh, give me freedom, give me freedom. But in many ways, freedom is a license word. It's kind of let me do what I want to do, and it gives me the license to even do wrong as long as it's kind of moderated. But liberty is the opportunity to make a choice, to assume responsibility, and accept the consequences. And liberty, you do not have a right to do wrong. Liberty is the right to do right.
That's interesting. Okay, we have about, believe it or not, 7 or 8 minutes left in this discussion, so we're almost halfway. Give us positive steps, give us hope, and I'll just sit back and let you wax eloquent. How do we turn America around and get back to that tree of liberty?
Okay, so now I am a homeschool mom. I'm a homeschool pioneer, and there's many things that have to be done from the inside out, liberties internal to external, and they really have to start within the individual and in the home. So I am a big advocate of doing what Jeremiah 29 talks about, where it talks about build houses and live in them. You know, like, what's your command? How do you change a country? How do you maintain stability in a nation, even when everything else is bad in the nation? Build houses, live in them. Plant gardens, eat the fruit. Marry and have children, and raise your children up to marry and have children.
Okay, wait. Let me stop you real fast. And let's, of course, you and I are both starting with the premise that the new birth in Christ, okay, that's the key to everything. That's where it all starts, getting born again. So we begin with get your household in order by getting your heart and life in by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. That's the beginning. And then all these other things, these are great, great points. So keep going. I'm sorry for interrupting. I know you meant that.
No,
though.
That's great. Because I was taking that as a given, and we needed to state it. But because the goal is to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 talks about training your children, teaching them the commands and promises of God when you wake up in the morning, when you go throughout your day, when you eat your meals, and before you go to bed at night. And so I concluded, and I know many Christians believe that Deuteronomy 6 is a suggestion. I took it as a command. I looked at that and said, I can't fulfill that unless I'm with my children all the time. So I homeschooled all 7 of my children, and we were raising world changers for Christ. There's some people whose only goal is to raise, people who will go along to get along, the people that fit in. But the people who conquer nations through faith, as in Hebrews 11:33, they conquered nations, they conquered kingdoms by faith. Well, we need some people of faith today to rise up and say, thus saith the Lord, We do it not by dictating to others, but by first of all living it out ourselves. And when we refuse to speak politically correct, see, definitions matter. And a whole lot of what's going on is, how is the society being redefined? It's being redefined through language. And every definition has a destination built into it. When you agree to the definition, you agree to the destination. And so now we have to come back and say, you know, I'm not making a contract with you by the use of that word. I'm going to use a biblical definition. I'm going to speak the truth. And when you do that simple thing in your own little area, you know, people many times say, oh, I don't have that big platform. I don't have all that area of influence. But the people who know you, you matter. And you tell the truth there. And you develop your own conscience from within. You be pure to yourself, because conscience is the first, is the greatest of all property. You know, if you don't maintain your conscience, then how do you go ahead and have any integrity anywhere else? So a whole lot of this whole problem with the nation, it looks real big and complicated, and people who want power want to make it complicated. But if you come back to the simple principles of liberty, I actually wrote a book called The Five Pillars of Liberty that goes into this. I also have a book called Mountains of Deceit that explains how the dialectic process is used, how language is used to change culture. And these are cutting-edge materials that go right to the juggler and explain the root. You know, if you've got bad fruit, you can flail at the bad fruit all day long. But if you deal with the problem at the root, the fruit gets fixed. So my materials go to the root, and we deal with what's the internal cause that's creating the external problem. And most of our Save the Country organizations, my friends, people I love, but they're mostly dealing with the fruit and not going back to the root.
Wow. Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. It's really fascinating. When you mentioned the thing about language, I'll give you two pet peeves. One is so obvious, pro-choice. Pro-choice? What choice does the baby have in the matter? What choice do most of the mothers who are forced into abortions? And that's what they say, you know, about 70. I just read this the other day. 70% of women who have abortions feel that they had no other choice, so to speak. And then another pet peeve when it comes to language is the word progressive. Progressive? Are you serious? The people who use that moniker for themselves, they're for anything but progress. What they want is more and more control. And then we, the little people, you know, get stomped on. You know, that's why that guy's song, Richmond, North of Richmond, is resonating with people, because, you know, the so-called progressives are stomping on all of us.
Exactly. And they want to tell us that we have all these choices, but they're wanting to give us, it's basically 50 shades of evil, or 50 shades of tyranny. You can have all these choices under the tyranny side, but they are not giving you even one choice that leads to liberty. So you have to look at, maybe it's what's not on the menu that's more important than what is. And maybe we need to start paying attention to this word choice is only there to make us believe or give the illusion of making a choice. But the real choices, God's already decided what things are within the boundaries of where our blessing will come from. So many of the things that look like, oh, God just wants to punish us or make our life miserable. No, those boundaries are there for your blessing. So make the choices within your boundaries, but not the ones that are without that will lead to problems.
All right, Marlene McMillan, thank you so much for being with us. Again, the website here is called whylibertymatters.com. And since this is God's world that we live in, we can never get beyond the principle that we reap what we sow. Thank you, Dr. Marlene. We appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you. Many blessings.
Bye-bye.